We're here on New Year's Eve Eve, and as I prayed about what to speak on and what to go through, tonight I want to keep it very practical and allow the Word of God just to help us usher in this new year. And as I was thinking about a new year, and I was thinking about the Jewish calendar versus the Roman calendar, this morning I talked about a fresh slate, a fresh start. And the one thing about a fresh start is it's not fresh for very long. You only get one chance to steward a fresh start. And so in about 48 hours, we're going to have that opportunity to steward a fresh year, to enter into 2019 with passion and priority. And so tonight, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 26, because as I was reading through Genesis a few years ago, I remember coming to the life of Isaac, and I remember there were several things that the Bible was talking about, and as I read this again this week, I was reminded of the fact that God took a lot of detail to describe to us what happened right when Abraham died, and Isaac was leading his family, who would be the family of our Savior, the lineage of David, and took a lot of detail for us to understand where he went and how he was handling himself. And we see this particular passage giving us some details about his two sons being born, and then a famine coming into the land at the beginning of this chapter. And then he had some very hard decisions to make for his family. And as he makes those decisions, I want you to pick up in verse number 12. He has some conflict with the Philistines. And in verse number 12 of Genesis chapter 26, it says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. And he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and called their names after the names which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth, for he said, Now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him in the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father, fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the narrative that we have in this passage that teaches us how to steward a new beginning, how to steward a new piece of land as he did, Lord, how to steward a new opportunity, how to steward difficult circumstances. And Lord, as we enter into this next year, not knowing what it will bring, I pray that you would please bring a peace and calm on our hearts to identify our priorities and make some commitments before you before this new year begins. Holy Spirit, would you please use this passage in these brief moments we have to grip our hearts and show us what you would have us to do. Lord, help us to live lives that you would have us to live. and help us to focus on priorities that you would have us to focus on in this new year. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Much of Scripture is written in narrative form, like we just read. And although it's easy to follow and it's fun to kind of think through the narrative of Scripture, especially in Genesis, and then you get into Judges and Kings, and there's so many neat stories, but sometimes we can get lost in the storyline and we can miss the principles that are found within the pages of those stories. The lives represent the lives that we are to pattern our lives after or not. And in this particular instance, Isaac is representing a pretty obvious principle that God is wanting us to learn from and glean from. But if you're like me, I read through these narratives and sometimes I miss the obvious principles. Sometimes I miss the principles that are being so obviously put in front of me. Now, the other day, I was looking through some of the things that people had sent me, and someone sent me some obvious guidelines, okay? This is one of them. Do not feed your fingers to the animals. That's pretty obvious. I don't know what type of animals there were, but here's another one. Someone said, touching wires cause instant death. There will be a $200 fine. I don't know how you collect a fine on a dead person, but I guess they're willing to do that. This is the next one that's pretty obvious. Keep your eyes open. If you can read the sign, your eyes are already open. That's a pretty obvious guideline as well. And then the final one is do not swallow. I don't know if anyone in here has swallowed a hanger, but that would be pretty difficult to do as well. This one for Antelope Valley is pretty good. I'm not sure if the plane caused that, but you gotta be careful out here. So there's some things in the Bible that are descriptive and some things that are prescriptive. And when we read through a narrative, sometimes we have to pull back and say, okay, what is God trying to say through this life and through this story? Now, as I study this out, I truly believe that the seven wells that Isaac dug in this passage represent God's provision and God's growth that he wanted to give, yes, to the nation of Israel and to the family of Isaac and Abraham and Jacob. But also I believe it represents the living water that was being typified to come, the well that would never run dry. And I believe that as we look at this story, we can see three ways that we can steward our wells, the three ways that we can steward the growth and provision that God has ready for us in 2019. And so let's look at the first way. The first way in this passage is seen through the life of Isaac as he anticipated growth. Verse number 12 and 13, I believe that he's anticipating the growth. You see, he sowed a crop, not knowing during a famine if he would reap. And we see in verse number 12 that he reaped 100-fold. This was a bunker crop during a famine. And he goes into the field, he sows the seed, and God gives a great harvest. Now, what was it in the life of Abraham and in Isaac's life during this famine to even sow the seed during a famine? There was a trust in the process that God had put in front of him to say, you sow and let me grow. And today, as we're thinking about this next year, I truly believe that there is growth when we trust and accept the process. The process of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But you see, sowing is the easy part of the process. Sowing is easy both to do, it's also easy not to do. You see, the sluggard in Proverbs 20, he doesn't sow and yet he doesn't receive a harvest. You see, sowing is a part of the process, but so is reaping. And in this passage, he reaped 100-fold, went forward and grew. And sometimes we think about a harvest and we get excited. Like, I want a great harvest of lost souls, and I want a great harvest of results in 2019. But you know, harvesting is just as hard as the process it takes to get the harvest. Every part of the process is necessary, and if we accept the process that God has for our lives, it will always reap a harvest. When I was dating Danielle, many of you know that was a process. both for me and for my in-laws and for Danielle. And most of the process was complicated by my stupidity. I recognize that. But with just like everything, there is a process. And at the other side of that process, there's increase. But you cannot skip the process to get the increase. You cannot skip the planting to get the harvest. And Isaac knew one thing, that even though there was a famine in the land, he still had to plant to receive a harvest. God blessed his faith with increase. And when we sow the seeds of God's word into our heart and in our lives, and when we anticipate growth by faith, I believe God will give us the increase. And I believe by faith we can, letter B, expect the increase. We can expect the increase. In verse number 13, he didn't just grow and go forward. He waxed great and grew until he became very great. How many of you know that is a wonderful thing to not just become great, but become very great? And these were talking about the wealth and the increase of crops. And in Proverbs 10:22, it says that the Lord can add to you, and he can add to you not like the world or yourself. He can add and add joy along with the increase. You see, we can increase on our own, but a lot of times it creates an emptiness with our increase. God says, I will give you the increase. I will add, and I will add joy with the increase. But Hebrews 11:6 gives us this commentary, that God is only a rewarder for those that are diligently seeking him. And in Deuteronomy 8:10, he says, don't forget that I, your God, am the giver of increase. See, I'm not the grower. I'm not the one that gives the increase. I'm just the sower. And if I'm faithful to sow in this new year, I believe God, by faith, will be faithful to grow. And I don't know what area in your life you're asking God to do some great things, but I believe that we can expect an increase when we just trust by faith. God, I'm going to do the necessary work. I'm going to accept the process. And as I accept the process, I'm going to allow you to grow my life, my spiritual life, my family, my business. I'm going to allow you to grow it as I sow in faithfulness. And so we expect the increase that God can give. And so are you asking God to give you growth in 2019? And if you're asking God to give you growth, then are you ready to accept the process of growth and expect by faith that God will give you the increase? And if you are, then I believe the second step is what Isaac took. And that is number two, the second best way to steward a fresh start is not just by accepting this process and having this moment where you have the anticipation for growth. But I believe number two, you need to identify your priorities. Much of our society today is aimlessly wandering from one desire and impulse to the next. And I believe that God is raising up a generation of people in this area to say, no, we are not going to be drifting, tossed to and fro by the fads and the trends of this world. We are going to be focused on our God-given roles, responsibilities, and priorities that God has laid before us this next year. And as we look at verse number 14 through verse number 22, we see that he made some choices. He made some very difficult choices for his family, but they were driven by his priorities. I want you to see letter A, that we must choose health over wealth. I don't believe wealth is wrong. I believe God gave wealth to Isaac. But when the decision came down to money or family, he chose family. When the decision came between lowering himself to the pagan Philistines or rising above and digging another well, he chose the hard work. So the Philistines envied him. They filled the wells. They asked him to leave because of their envy. He left the crops. Remember the hundredfold? He left the crops and he chose the health, the water. He knew what his priorities were. And I believe that in this next year, we must have God-driven, God-given priorities. Now, how does that happen? Well, obviously, first, we start with the Word of God. And if you haven't had a minute to sit down and write out your goals and write out your priorities and think through this next year, I'd encourage you to start one step further by opening up your Bible and saying, what's our verse this year? What's the Word of God? You say, you know, I get up and read my Bible every day, and yet sometimes I just feel like it's routine and rude. You know how to break out of that? Is to say that if I don't have the Word of God, I will be dehydrated spiritually. You know what Isaac knew? He knew that if the wells were filled with earth, they couldn't get the water. And if they couldn't get the water, they couldn't live. And so he chose, instead of staying where it was good, he said, you know what? I'm going to do something. I'm going to choose the health of my family. I'm going to choose the health of having water and having sustenance over the wealth of these crops. He was not attached to God's blessing. He was attached to the blesser. He was not attached to the prosperity. He made a priority of the relationship with God. And you know what David said in Psalm 1? He said that when we have our roots in the Word of God, when we are delighting in the law of the Lord, and when we're meditating day and night, we're planted as a tree by the rivers of water. And it bringeth forth the fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But I find myself wanting the prosperity and prioritizing the prosperity more than I'm prioritizing my walk with God. I want the growth more than I want the grower. And if I pull back and say, God, my priority is you and your word, and that's first in my life, everything else will be added to that. And so we have to choose health over wealth. We have to choose the priority of living a life that is focused on the inward man being renewed day by day rather than the outward man being greater and greater in prosperity and self-fulfillment. I read a tragic story a few years ago about the Klebb family. The Klebb family built a cabin in Alaska, and they were really excited about this cabin. They scraped together every bit of money that they could find, and they built this cabin, and it was a beautiful, beautiful cabin. And they had bought the property, and they were excited to be there. And their first vacation in this property, about a week into it, they all got really sick, and they just thought it was the weather. But tragically, they got so sick that their 10-year-old Gavin passed away. Upon his death, they did an investigation and found that the old used refrigerator on the property that they had just purchased secondhand and placed in that unit was leaking carbon monoxide. And that they were not sick because of the weather or the travel. They were sick because of that odorless gas that was leaking through and contaminating that property. Because they saved a few dollars on an appliance, they lost the life of their son. And I would venture to say that many of our priorities in 2018 were dictated and driven by money and by prosperity and not the priority of the Word of God. They did an interview and they said, we would give anything to go back and purchase for just a few more dollars an appliance that would not contaminate our family. Just to have one more conversation with our little Gavin, we would love to go back and do that all over again. And the reality is they couldn't. And there's an odorless gas, a contamination that gets into our hearts and our souls, and it's this contamination of comparison and envy and resentment and all of the things that we look around and see and all of the things that are trying to form our priorities. And instead of allowing the Word of God to form our priorities, we allow everyone else to form our priorities. And so Isaac just simply in verse number 22 packed up his things, and he moved on. He didn't move far, but he digged another well, and God made room for him. He chose health over wealth, but also he chose life over strife. You see, the life of his family was more important to him than winning an argument with those around him. And in verse number 19 and verse number through verse number 21, the Bible walks us through his decision to allow them to have the wells that they're saying were theirs. And it reminds me of the verse in Proverbs 20 where it talks about the fool always meddling. These Philistines always saying something about Isaac and wanting to jockey for position, and meddling leads to envy. And envy's the rottenness of the bones, but a sound heart is the life of the flesh. But you know, envy is driven by this comparison, the fact that you have more and I have less. And so I'm going to resent you for what God has done in your life instead of just saying, God, would you make room for me in due season? That's why Paul said, comparing ourselves among ourselves, it is not wise. Theodore Roosevelt said, comparison is the thief of joy. It robs us from being able to rejoice with others. It robs us from being able to hope and believe and give life into others. And if we're going to invest into what is most important in 2019, your church family and your family and the things that are truly most important, not what the world says is most important, but are truly most important, we must step back and say, what is God calling me to do? And most of us know this, but we need to love God through loving others. And we cannot do that if, number one, we are focused on our own needs above others. And number two, if we're so focused on everyone else's successes that we can't enjoy the success that God has given to us. I remember in the last Olympics, there was a Russian coach who had coached a young man from his youth in gymnastics. And as this young man performed, the cameras panned not to the young man that was doing his routine, but to the coach, because they couldn't help but see the joy in his face as he nailed his routine. I think we have a video of that tonight.
Come on, let's out.
They so clearly do it.
Come on! Come on, now.
You would think that he just won the Olympics. You would think that he was the one that was performing. But it was not him. Yet he was just as happy as if it were. And when we are focused on God-given priorities and other-driven priorities, you know who takes notice? The world does. And they say, why is that so different? How can that person be so happy for someone else's success? How can that person be so glad for the other person who it doesn't benefit them at all? And yet others can look in and see the love that Christ modeled when he was on earth. You see, there's much joy in being thankful for someone else's ability and success, because celebration cancels the spirit of comparison. And when the Philistines finally realized that wherever he went, God was blessing him, in verse number 26 or 27, if you look there, they came and Isaac said, "Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you?" And they said, this is the testimony of a life focused on the priorities that God has given you. "We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee, and we said, let there be now an oath." You know, until we get our priorities straight, we can't expect the world to want the priorities that we have. And so we have to first anticipate growth by faith. And then we have to identify our priorities, and then we have to make some commitments. We call these resolutions, we call these goals, whatever you want to call them, but I believe the biblical word would be commitment. When you make a commitment before God, when you make an oath before God, it is a statement you are making, yes, by faith, but also by surrender. To say, God, I believe you can do this, but I also believe that you will do this through me. And I'm willing to allow you to do this through me. But how does this work? Well, letter A, we must commit to trusting God's promises. When we trust God's promises, as Isaac did in verse number 23 and 24, we understand that it is the promise that gives us the power to perform, not the power to perform that gives us confidence in the promise. You see, it is God's promise and truth that we rest in to be able to fulfill the commitments that we make, not the commitments that we make that recognize God's promises. Sometimes I get that totally backwards. And if you're like me, sometimes I feel like, hey, I got some things done last year, and so therefore, God will allow me to do some things this year. And the reality is, God did everything I did last year. It was just me being a willing instrument to Him. And when we step out of the picture and make the most of His promises, guess what? He gets the glory, and He ends up doing more through our lives. And so here's what Abraham had to do. He made a commitment to go. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1, God told Abraham to leave. Go. Get out of this your area, your homestead. Get out. Go, and I'll tell you when to stop. But it's interesting that Isaac had the opposite command. God told Isaac to stay. Why? Why would God tell Abraham to go and Isaac to stay? Well, in verse number 2, we see that Isaac wanted to go down to Egypt. You see, he was moving a very close proximity. He was moving from the area known as Negev. I think we have a picture of it. Negev was a high desert region, much like this area. And he was moving from Negev down to Gerar. And we say down, it was south, it was kind of up a hill a little bit. But he wanted to move all the way to Egypt, which was about a 5-hour walk. And as he was contemplating this, God appeared to him and said, I don't want you to leave yet because I want to show what I can do in a famine. You see, when times get hard, you have a choice to make. Are you going to allow God to show forth His praise and glory through your life, or are you going to go somewhere where it's easier? And God was telling Isaac that if you leave, no one in that area will see what I can do in a famine. And in verse number 30, we see that they sit down with the Philistines, the pagan Philistines, and they have a feast with the Philistines. And that feast would have never been possible if Isaac would not have just stayed where God had placed him. And said, God, I know you're doing something with my life. I know it's hard because there's a famine. The cisterns are dry. The wells are filled with earth. There's some circumstances that I'm not really fond of right here, but I know you want me to stay, so I'm going to stay, and I'm going to trust that you will bring the feast in the famine. I know a lot of you in this room have had circumstances, maybe in 2018, where you have been tempted to say, you know what, these circumstances, it would be easier somewhere else to deal with these circumstances. And let me tell you from the life of Isaac that it's not always easy to run. Sometimes God wants to give you the faith to stay. To stay and to dig another well. He made a commitment to trust the promises of God. God said, if you stay and if you dig another well, you can see what I can do in the famine. But if you run and if you continue to just leave hoping it will get easier, guess what? The famine follows you and the feast never comes. I think we've all seen times in our lives where we've kind of run from a problem instead of faced it. And we don't allow the promises of God to give us the confidence to go through situations. It's very easy to do. But I believe that this passage is telling us that there's some wells that will never run dry. Every time they took a well, and every time he started to dig, and it was about a 2.5 week process to dig a well. I think we have a picture of one of the wells that he dug down 200 feet, and they would dig, and they would put little feet holes on either side, and they would hoist up the rocks and the debris up bucket by bucket by bucket. It was a hard process. But as they went through this process, the deeper they went, the purer the water. And the purer the water, the better the crops, and the better the taste. And let me tell you, friend, in 2019, if you will dig a little deeper, I promise you that the promises of God will become richer and purer and will give you more confidence and faith for your Christian life. And when you get tempted to run, let me just tell you, just dig a little deeper. And if you dig another well, I promise you that the promises of God will give you the refreshment that Jesus talked about in John chapter 4, when he said, if you knew who was talking to you, you would know that I'm offering to you living water. You will never thirst again. And that was a promise that was made. And I believe that it was a promise that was being typified in Genesis chapter 26, that Jesus would come and offer this well of living water that would spring up and give health and growth to all that would come to him. So we must commit to trusting God's promises, but then finally, we must commit to trusting God's plan. Verse number 25, we know that he trusted because he stopped and he builded an altar and he called upon the name of the Lord, but I missed completely the fact that earlier in verse number 21, he pitched his tent, which is the Hebrew word for just kind of temporarily putting things in one place. And in verse number 25, it's the word nita, and it literally means to place your stakes so deep that you're not planning to leave. It's a word that was not for camping. It was a word that was used for someone who was stretching out and staying in one place and allowing God's plan to unfold. He pitched his tent and said, God, I'm staying here. And then he digged the well. Amen. God blesses those who are willing to commit their way unto him, to trust also in him. And he let him bring it to pass. But when we look and envy the world, and when we look on the outside and we let the fret of evildoers kind of overwhelm us, we lose the light of his righteousness and the light of his judgment. Yet David in Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Listen, there's a lot of wickedness and darkness in the world today. And maybe you've had a year that you were kind of disappointed about. And I know we all, including myself, have things that you kind of look at and say, man, that wasn't a part of God's plan. And yet in 2019, we have a fresh slate. We have a brand new year to be able to say, okay, God, what are you going to do? I'm going to anticipate some growth. I'm going to trust in your promises. I'm going to make some commitments. I'm going to focus on some priorities. And yet sometimes it's hard to let go of the past. And it's hard to focus on what God has placed in front of us. I placed a few pieces of paper in front of my son Camden a few months ago, hoping that he would organize them. And I went to the next room, and I came back, and he had taken the piece of paper, the pieces of paper that I wanted organized and filed, and he had started to make origamis out of them, which was wonderful. I got to now file origamis. But when I came around the corner, I kind of startled him because I think he was trying to make me one, and instead of show me the halfway made origami. He just kind of crumpled it up and put it to the side. He was obviously disappointed, and so I walked over and I said, "What were you making?" And he was trying to show me, and as I kind of pulled it apart, it was wrinkled much like this piece of paper, and so we worked on another one and finally got one that we really liked. But he kept on looking over at the wrinkled one, as if to think and to say, "I wish I could have made that before you got back." And I looked over at Camden and I said, "Listen, Camden, just having that moment of being able to make it with you was worth it. I didn't need you to make it perfect for me to be happy. I just wanted to be the one to help you to make the finished product." You know, in 2019, we're starting with a fresh piece of paper. And it represents a choice. And the choice is this: will you take your priorities and plans, and will you do your best and just hope that God's happy with it? Or will you ask for God's help and by faith say, "God, I can't do this without you. So I'm going to place this blank, fresh start in front of you. And I'm going to allow you to make with 2019 what you want me to do." Will you trust God's plan? Or will you take your plan into your own hands, like many of us have done in several areas of 2018? Let's put it as Isaac did, in God's plan, and ask Him to do with it far more, far above all that we could ask or think.